Our unison reading this morning comes from Psalm 107, the first 16 verses. It's a beautiful psalm. This psalm is really a call to us. It's an encouragement to us. It's an exhortation to us. As redeemed sinners in Jesus Christ, to give thanks to God for His goodness and His wonderful works in our life, and especially His wonderful work of salvation, of redemption. Psalm 107 is all about giving thanks and praise to God because He's redeemed us, and He's redeemed us from sin and the power of sin, and He's redeemed us from our enemies. And we're very thankful to God for who He is and His goodness and for what He has done for us. And this psalm calls us to give thanks to Him, to open our mouths and to sing His thanksgiving and His praise, and to pray His thanksgiving and His praise, and to share His thanksgiving and His praise, His glory that we thank Him for and praise Him for. And this is the psalm. It's a call to us as redeemed sinners to give thanks to God. We can break this unison reading, the part of the unison reading that we have, into three sections. Verse 1 through 3 is the call itself. We'll look at that. And then verse 4 through 16, two ways that we can think of particularly that God has redeemed us and saved us that will encourage us and stir us up to thanksgiving and praise, to stir us up to think about God's goodness in our life and the wonderful works that He has done in saving us from our sin. So it's a beautiful, wonderful, rich psalm. I hope it's encouraging to you this morning. Look at verse 1 through 3. We read the call. Sort of sets the tone of the whole psalm. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He has redeemed from the hand of the enemy and gathered out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. Well, we see there in verse 2 the call. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. The Lord is good and His mercy endures forever, and He is worthy of praise and thanksgiving. But the call, the point that the psalm is making, is it's calling us who have experienced God's goodness and who have experienced His mercy and His wonderful works in our life, to say so. To say so, not just to know it, not just to think it, but to say it. And that means to say it, first of all, to God Himself in prayer, to give thanks to Him, and to express and to articulate the thanksgiving and the praise that we have for all that He has done for us in saving us, what He's done for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And let us say so in prayer. Let us say so to one another. Let us speak the praises of God and thanksgiving to God as we speak to one another God's goodness to us. And we speak to one another God's mercies to us. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Has God redeemed you? Has He saved you from your sins? Did He find you when you were lost? Did He comfort you in your afflictions? Has He rescued you? Has He saved you and set you on high? Are you thankful to Him? Are you amazed by what He's done for you? Then say so. That's the point of the psalm. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Now, who are the redeemed? Well, the redeemed are those who have been saved, it says, from the hand of the enemy. But you know, in the Bible, the enemy is sin. If the flesh is our enemy, if the devil is our enemy, if the world is our enemy, all of our enemies are our enemy ultimately because they serve sin. And sin is our enemy. The redeemed in this passage are the redeemed of the Lord. The redeemed of the Lord are those who have been redeemed from sin. And God has saved us from the hand of the enemy. He's saved us from the power and the dominion of sin. And He's gathered us out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and the south. It's a reference to God's people from all over the earth. That's a reference to you this morning. If you're in Jesus Christ and you believe in Him, you are the redeemed. You've been redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and you've been gathered out of the lands of this world to worship the Lord God of heaven and earth. So it's a beautiful psalm, and it sets us up right at the beginning by calling us, the redeemed of the Lord, to give thanks to God for His goodness and for His mercy. And then in verse 4 through 9, it describes to us one of the ways that God has saved us from the enemy. And this applies to all of us. This isn't a case study of a particular group or subset of us. We were all wandering in a wilderness and hungry and thirsty and restless, without rest, without home. And we cried to the Lord, and he heard our cry, and he called us to himself, and he gave us a city to dwell, and he gave us rest and a place, and he satisfied our hungry soul. Look at verse 4 through 9. They wandered in the wilderness in a desolate way. They, that's the redeemed of the Lord. Before they were redeemed, they wandered in the wilderness in a desolate way. They found no city to dwell in. They had no home. They had no rest. Verse 5, they were hungry and thirsty. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. They became aware of their lostness and their homelessness. They became aware of their hunger and their thirst and their need for a Savior. And they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he heard them. He delivered them from their distresses, and he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city for a dwelling place. He gave them rest. He gave them a home. You know what this passage reminds me of is Hebrews chapter 11. Please turn there with me in your Bible to Hebrews chapter 11. And if you're going to turn there with me, I am using the New King James Version this morning. Usually I use the ESV. Hebrews chapter 11. It's just like what we read in Hebrews chapter 11, what God did for Abraham and what he's done for us if we're in Christ, if we share the faith of Abraham. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. That's a reminder to us that Abraham was lost in this world, and God called him out of the world and to himself and promised him a land, an inheritance, and to go to that place. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise, as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. But verse 10, for he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And this is the idea Psalm 107 is expressing. And look at verse 13. These all died in faith, all of these who share the faith of Abraham, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed them, that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. And so Psalm 107 is speaking about this same thing, this goodness of God, that he's rescued us from a wilderness and from a lost state. And he's given us a home, a city whose foundations are sure and everlasting. And we have this city. We have it by faith. And we have it by hope. And we will have it in the world to come as our own. And God is not ashamed to be called our God, because he has prepared this city for us. If you're in Christ Jesus, brothers and sisters, you were lost and you were wandering. And in Christ, your soul has been satisfied and you have been given a city, an eternal city. Praise the Lord for his goodness to you. And thank him for his wonderful works in your life. What a wonderful thing to think about. Who are we? Let me be very bold. Let me be blunt, because I'm including myself and all of us. Who are you? Who am I that we should be called out of this world to God, to a heavenly country? Who are you that you should be given a city whose foundations cannot be shaken or taken away? And yet this is who God is and his goodness towards you. And this is what God has done for you in the gospel. And that's why we come back to 107. And we come back to 107 and we read verse 8. Oh, that men would give thanks to God for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfies the longing soul and he fills the hungry soul with goodness. Well, praise the Lord. God has saved us. We were lost and now we're found. And he's given us a heaven, he's given us a home, he's given us rest in Jesus Christ. And we give thanks to God. Verse 10 through 16, another way that God has redeemed us is he's redeemed us from our rebellious hearts. He's redeemed us from the dominion and the power and the bondage of sin. That's what we see here in verse 10 through 16. Those who sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, bound in affliction and irons. It's a picture of being in bondage to the hopelessness and the guilt of sin and the dominion of sin and its power. They sat in darkness in the shadow of death and in affliction and irons because they rebelled against the words of God and despised the counsel of the Most High. They sinned against God. And they did so rebelliously. They didn't do so ignorantly. They didn't do it. It wasn't a mistake. It wasn't an accident. They heard the word of God and they knew what was right and they rebelled against it. They rebelled against it because of the sin that's in their heart. And the dominion and the power of sin that's in their heart. And they were chained in an affliction by sin. They could not escape. And they rebelled against the word of God. This is just a description of our depravity. Therefore, he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down. There was none to help. They could not save themselves. They could not escape the bondage of their sin. And no one could help them. No human teacher, no human guide could help them, could deliver them. And so verse 13, they heard the gospel. They heard about who the Lord is and what he does. And they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. And he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and out of the shadow of death. And he broke their chains in pieces. He broke the power and the bondage of sin. Isn't that beautiful language? He broke their chains. It's a beautiful, beautiful, vibrant language. You know what this reminds us of? It reminds us of Manasseh. Everybody says, oh, you're always talking about Manasseh. Turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Chronicles 33. I admit, I think about Manasseh a lot. 2 Chronicles 33. Probably one of my personal favorite passages in all the Bible. But it's really helpful for us here. In fact, when we read this story, you're going to see whoever wrote Psalm 107, I think, was particularly thinking about Manasseh because of the language that he uses here. I mean, it's almost a perfect parallel. 2 Chronicles 33, we have this beautiful example. Now, brothers, you're Manasseh. I mean, that's what it boils down to. Manasseh is just an example of who we all are, left to ourselves and in the dominion of our sin. But Manasseh was a king in Judah. He was a son of Hezekiah. You remember Hezekiah? Hezekiah was a godly king. There was a revival in Hezekiah's day. Manasseh was raised by this man. He knew the right way. He was a king in Judah. He was in the covenant with God, all of those things. But we read about Manasseh and his rebellion. 2 Chronicles 33, verse 1. Manasseh was 12 years old when he became king, and he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. That's a long time, and we're about to see why. But he did evil in the sight of the Lord according to the abominations of the nations that the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. Now that's a profound statement. We can't skip over it. You remember that God brought Israel into the land of Canaan. The whole original idea, the point of bringing Israel into the land of Canaan was so that they might bring judgment on the sins of the Canaanites, of the nation, to obliterate the Canaanites because of their sin. And here we have the king of Judah, the king of Israel, at the peak or the height of the kingdom, who himself has fallen back into those old practices. He's doing the same things that God had cast the Canaanites away for doing. So his sin is not small. His sin is great. And it's added to it because he's the king of Judah. He has God's law. He has God's covenant. He's a son of David, a son of Solomon. He should know better than these things. But this is what he did. He did the abominations of the nations. Verse 3, for he rebuilt the high places which Hezekiah his father had broken down. He raised up altars for the Baals and made wooden images. And he worshipped all the host of heaven and served them. He was an idolater. Verse 4, he built altars in the house of the Lord, the temple, Solomon's temple. He desecrated it. He defiled it. This great symbol of God's presence and grace and mercy and power. He desecrated it. He made it a place for idols. He built altars in the house of the Lord, of which the Lord had said, in Jerusalem shall my name be forever. And he built altars for all the host of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. And he caused his sons to pass through the fire in the valley of the son of Hinnom. In other words, he practiced child sacrifice. He practiced soothsaying, witchcraft, sorcery, and consulted mediums and spiritists. And again, the idea there is unspeakable abominations that he is indulging in and leading the children of Israel to practice. He did much evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. He even set a carved image, the idol which he had made, in the house of God. The idea is it's in the Holy of Holies, of which God had said to David and to Solomon his son, in this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel, I will put my name forever. And I will not again remove the foot of Israel from the land which I have appointed for your fathers, if they are careful to do all that I commanded them, according to the whole law and statutes and ordinance by the hand of Moses. Verse 9, here's the summary. So Manasseh seduced Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to do more evil than the nations whom the Lord had destroyed before the children of Israel. He was worse than the Canaanites. His sin was great. And he adds to it in verse 10, and the Lord spoke to Manasseh and his people, but they would not listen. They were rebellious. God said to them, stop, repent, and they did not. Verse 11, therefore the Lord brought upon them the captains of the army of the king of Assyria, who took Manasseh with hooks and bound him with bronze and carried him off to Babylon. This is the wrath and the judgment of God against Manasseh, punishment for his sin. Fierce wrath. And you can imagine being bound with chains and with hooks and with bronze and with iron and being taken to a foreign land and put in a dungeon. And so here's Manasseh. God has humbled him greatly. His wrath is heavy upon Manasseh for his sin. And this is what we read in verse 12. Now when he, that's Manasseh, was in affliction, he implored the Lord his God. Now, first of all, it's amazing that those words are written. It doesn't say the Lord God. Manasseh implored the Lord his God. That's covenant language. That's the language of faith. He implored the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers. And he prayed to him. Now at this point, brothers and sisters, you and I, we look at a man like Manasseh and we say, he can pray all day long. He's where he belongs. This man practiced child sacrifice. This man's an idolater of idolaters. But he calls out to the Lord, he prayed to God, and we read these most wonderful words, and God received his entreaty. God heard his pleas for mercy. He heard his supplication and brought him back to Jerusalem, into his kingdom. God didn't just have mercy upon him. He didn't just forgive him and say, you know what, Manasseh, you've been so evil. We got to stop here. I can show you mercy, but you're in prison. You've got to carry it. You've got to own it. He doesn't say that to him. He brings him back to Jerusalem. He takes him out of prison. He releases him from those iron chains and those bronze bonds. And he brings him back to Jerusalem. And then we get these beautiful words. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord was God. Then he knew that God is a redeemer and a savior. Then he knew that God was good and his mercy endures forever. Then Manasseh became a true worshiper in spirit and in truth. He knew the Lord was God. God had saved him. But go on, look at this. After this, he built a wall outside the city of David on the west side of Gihon in the valley as far as the entrance of the fish gate. And it enclosed Ophel, and he raised it to a very great height. Then he put military captains in all the fortified cities of Judah. And you're reading that and you're thinking, oh, that's all boring history. What does that mean? But the point of it is that God has brought Manasseh back to his kingdom in full strength and full power. He's forgiven him of his sins. He's released him from his chains. He is king in Judah again, fully. He took away the foreign gods and the idol from the house of the Lord and all the altars that he had built in the mount of the house of the Lord and in Jerusalem. And he cast them out of the city. He also repaired the altar of the Lord and sacrificed peace offerings and thank offerings on it and commanded Judah to serve the Lord God of Israel. And we could go on, but the point is that God restored Manasseh. And we come back to Psalm 107 then, and we think to ourselves that God has done this for us. We were rebels against God, and we had brought upon ourselves just condemnation, just punishment for our sins and afflictions and labor. And we were in bondage in the dominion of sin, and we were willing servants. But then we heard the gospel, and we came to a senses, and we came to an awareness that God's wrath was upon us, and we called out to the Lord, and he heard our cry, and he heard our supplication, and he redeemed us, and he saved us. And he broke the chains in pieces. Verse 15, oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he has broken the gates of bronze and he has cut the bars of iron in two. Have you been redeemed of the Lord? Do you know his goodness? Have you been found when you were lost? Have you been set free when you were captive? Then, oh, brothers and sisters, say so. Give thanks to the Lord and give praise to his name.